Hey Joe, that's Ryan.
Hey Ryan, welcome.
I can volunteer to be scribe.
Oh, excellent. Thanks, Ryan. I make sure I give you credit in the list here. Cool. Thank you, Ryan. Okay, actually, I think I already went off agenda. So, just an IP note, these calls are open to the public. Anyone can participate. But if you haven't joined the group, then you haven't joined, signed the IP policy, in which case we would ask you to refrain from substantive contribution. There's some wiggle room on that. I'm not sure which way it wiggles, but please join the group if you haven't and you find these interesting. Okay, we're going to go through the rest of the agenda. We're going to do introductions and reintroductions in case we have some new folks. Some reminders. We're going to talk a little bit about my action items, or I'm sorry, the current action items, my action items. I start reading my data next. Specifically about the panel at my data, I want to make sure we're supporting Marcus in that in the registry process. We have some issues to ask Manu about or to goad Manu about. And then status of work items, especially OCAP LD and the LD key registry, we want to touch base on. And then the bulk of the call is going to be talking about how do we spin up a DID working group, how do we move the DID spec from where it's at now into something that can turn it into a proper specification and open standard. So that's the agenda. Does anyone else have any items they want to squeeze in there? Open call for any items we need to be talking about.
Nope, sounds good.
Okay, great. So Chris does have a question in IRC. Can someone point him to IPI? IPI. I'll just say IPI. IPI.com is free. Yeah, and that worked for me as well. Okay, so that's the agenda, introductions and reintroductions. Do we have anyone on the call who has not been with us before? Anyone new? Okay, well, I'm not hearing anyone jump up and down and say, I'm new. Okay, well, let's do a quick reintroduction. Is Adrian on? How about Andrew? Andrew, have you introduced yourself recently, Andrew?
Hi, Andrew Hughes. I don't know what to say. These days I'm an independent consultant. These days working on editing internet standards, mostly at ISO and ITU, for identity and privacy. I'm tracking the self-sovereign identity verifiable claims work as it's developed in the last year and a half or so. And looking forward to contributing more to the standards development.
Okay, great. Thank you, Andrew. Okay, so reminder. So consensus is coming up in 2 weeks in New York City. I know a bunch of us are going, but I don't think we have anything formal organized. If you want to organize something, feel free to use the mailing list to rally folks, whether it's just to have a drink somewhere or grab a bite. Does anyone have anything to mention on that one? Guess I should be queued up to queue. Okay. And then my data in Finland, we're going to talk about that next, also in line item six. And then sometime this summer, we wanted to do a hackathon outreach, but we haven't found a date. So this is an action item. Ryan, if you could add an action item, the chairs need to pick a target date for this outreach hackathon. So we can talk about that on Friday. Okay, any other announcements or reminders folks want to share with the group? Yeah, it's a good question, Ryan. I don't know either. Oh, there you go. I think you did it. Oh, person. Got it. So you can put my name on that, Ryan. Okay, so moving on to action items. So there's a, we agreed to help Marcus out, putting a panel together at My Data. I don't see Marcus on the IRC. Is there anyone else on that panel who can speak to the status on that? Demetrius will be there. Yeah, I know Adrian is also going to be on a panel at on interoperability at My Data.
This is Dimitri. I'm also going to be at the interoperability panel, so I'm happy to put in word.
Okay, great. Okay, so it sounds like we don't have most of the people on the call who are helping pull that panel together, so we'll move on. Thank you, Dimitri, for your update. Okay, and then the registry process. So there is an issue number 7, SpecText version of the registry process. So Manu, are you with us?
Yes, here.
So I know you had a ton of work in the first quarter, so we went easy on you with this one, but we've seen, for example, right, I think each of the registries actually need their own process, or at least a specification of what qualifies and what doesn't qualify. So there's a whole bunch of unstated expectations here that can we get some progress towards these items?
I'm trying to figure out, I mean, the process right now is a PR and then community discussion, and we don't have that written down anywhere. And I think, I thought the outcome of that discussion was that that's all we needed for it, but maybe there's more. My expectation is what you're asking for is a write-up of the process. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
From where I'm coming from, as lightweight as possible, but no more lightweight, right?
Yeah.
So if it is just a couple sentences, try it out. And if it sticks, we'll go with it, right?
Okay. All right. So maybe I will propose something in that issue. Or I will eventually propose something in that issue as soon as I get to it in my list.
Okay, sounds good. Because we're going to have people complaining because their thing is in the registry. So the more signposts we can, if they're concise enough to be read anyway.
And then each registry should probably point to the process to adding things into the registry.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'll give a specific. For instance, I'm probably going to be introducing a BTCR registry because there's a magic value that is defines what Satoshi blockchain you're running on, but there's only like 22 of those that are first level in a sense before you go a two character type thing. And so I'm going to basically say you have to have a working version of it before we will accept it in the registry. But, other than that that should be the requirement.
Yep.
And, so everybody can have a slightly different one depending on their needs.
Okay, cool. So I think those are our work items. Any other work items folks want to report in on? Those were the two that the chair said. Oh, I'm sorry. Those were action items. Any other action items folks want to report in on? Okay, let's move on to work items then. Okay, so first one we want to touch base on, and I'm not seeing Chris. Do we have anyone involved with the OCAP LD? Oh, you are, Chris? Okay, I just hadn't seen your name on the IRC. How are things going with the...
Yeah, I'm in the queue.
Oh, that's the other Chris.
Okay,
you're up, Chris.
Well, I mean, I was just talking about the BTCR thing. I got my point in, so.
Oh, okay. I met Chris Weber, who's working on the OCAP LD paper.
Sorry.
It's all right. Okay, so we'll have to table that. We'll queue up Chris and try and get some report from him next time. And then Kim, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay, I think you had, did you bring out the LD key registry?
I did. And I think it was about a question we had in the previous meeting. I remember Manu wasn't there, and someone was asking something about, JWT. Now I'm just not remembering at all. So there was some action item, I think, with some reconciliation there. But yeah, it's just totally past me now. I'll try to dig it up.
Yeah, I read the minutes. If I remember correctly, Mike Lauder was asking about the status of JWK key expression. I might be totally wrong there. And I think
it wasn't me. Might have been somebody else.
I totally missed whoever said something.
That was Mike Lauder. I was just saying it wasn't me asking about JWK. I think it was someone else.
Okay. So in any case, I know that the UPort folks had said that they'd take an action to take a look at that. So I think that's on the UPort folks to specify how you use JWK to express keys that came up at IIW.
Yeah, also, this is Christian. Also, Microsoft is interested in that. And their JWT folks are interested in helping out with that as well.
So, I guess I started this section not knowing what the question is, and I also now don't know what the answer seems to be.
Joe, I think I'm entering an action. I think the main thing was that we knew there was some work item or action item. We didn't know exactly what it was, and we also needed an assignee. It sounds like we have the action item, and we can assign it to maybe Christian and Daniel Buchner.
Yeah, I think basically it was a question of whether we can use the current JWK specifications for key descriptions. I think that was that was part of it.
Yeah, and the answer is yes, you can, but you have to write a spec for it. So it's there has to be a spec. The other thing that I should point out is that we don't have the LD key registry anymore, as far as I understand it. We're LD Crypto Suite registry now, and then you can point off to Crypto Suites that specify how you express keys. So basically, I think the work that you guys have signed up for is pushing some of that stuff through IETF, creating a Crypto Suite registry for expressing keys as JWK, and then writing a spec around how you express verifiable credentials as JWTs. So there are three three items on your plate right now. Or at least that's what would have to happen for you to kind of have specs to point at that do all those things.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we'll sync up with I'll sync up with Daniel, who can then, you know, also talk to his folks.
I'm not sure the IETF part of it will be too much of a problem. If I remember correctly, Mike Jones is either in the process or just did it like last week or something, the Edwards curve format for JWKs. He's either submitted it as a draft or submitted it to the working group. So most of the heavy lifting as far as the IETF part is already done. Sorry, this is Dimitri.
Okay. I wanted to give Manu a time to fill in the minutes. If you saw that request, Manu.
Yep, working on it.
Okay, great. Okay, excellent. Thank you, Manu. I just want to make sure we had time to get that before we move the conversation on. Okay, so any other work items folks want to report in about?
This is Lionel.
Go ahead.
I can wait. I'm just saying we're still alive and kicking, and we're moving towards the finish line. We passed a few minor hurdles this week and are still driving towards completion next week.
Okay, great. Thank you. That was Lionel, and that was about the data minimization work item?
Correct.
Great. Thank you, Lionel. Was there someone else who had an item?
Well, I was actually hoping for a status on the Anira.
Oh, sure. So if someone could capture this. So I have made some progress. I'd say I'm about halfway through with the final edit. And hopefully I'll have something by this time next week to send to Shannon. So I think that's a reasonable deadline. Once it gets through Shannon and we get the buy-in from the authors, which is really all rebooting Web of Trust stuff, then we'll feed it into spec text and get it into the consensus conversation here.
Fabulous.
Okay. Last call for work item business. I am seeing the ongoing chat about JWK. Okay. So moving on to the main event. We've got an echo.
We've got an echo.
Looks like that's
Like that's
Kezuke. there, we muted him. Let us know, Kezuke, in IRC, if you want to be unmuted. You had a lot of feedback on your audio.
Yep, so just let us know by chat if you want to speak up. Okay, so we've got a DID spec. We had some DID hardening calls. We put a lot of work, and there have been some papers written. And so the next major milestone is getting the work transitioned to a standards working group, whether that's at W3C or somewhere else. And so we started a conversation about, well, what do we need to do that? We've identified these 8 items, and today we want to go over those and assign them, get someone's name on rallying them over the next several months. And with that very brief intro, Manu, how do you see the schedule going with regard to these action items and the decisions still left ahead of us about how we might want to move forward?
Sure. So the schedule is by the end of the summer, we have to have all of these documents in place, which is like, what is that, 3 months? So we have a very, very rough accelerated schedule. They're not difficult things to put together, and many of them can be done in parallel, but it means that we're going to need lots of volunteers to move this stuff together in parallel. Otherwise, we're going to miss the W3C TPAC deadline. The reason that it's 90 days is because you have to do a lot of kind of pre-announcements before TPAC. You have to circulate things. You have to get the right W3C staff involved. There's a lot of stuff that takes many numbers of weeks in the W3C process to do. So that's why it's such an aggressive schedule. I can kind of try and explain each one of these, what each one of these are. Joe, would that help, or did you want to go through it in a different way?
No, that sounds good. In fact, I would like to go through, you can give just a brief introduction and see if someone wants to raise their hand. If no one raises their hand, then we can unpack it further and try and see whose interest might be aligned with that. But some of these, you know, I think will be easy.
I'll go top to bottom then. The DID charter is basically what the working group is created around. So this is an official document at W3C that says exactly what the working group will be working on, and more importantly, what they will not be doing. So it has to be very focused. There is a desire to have a charter that only lasts for 24 months. So you get in, get the work done, get out. We should have multiple implementations, hopefully with some amount of test suite before we even go into a working group. I know that's not it's not typically what you end up doing, but that sets us up more for success. So the DID charter requires people to have prior knowledge and writing a charter at W3C. I can certainly volunteer to do that. I think Dan Burnett, if you have any spare cycles, Dan could potentially also help. But again, only if there's spare cycles. And if anybody wants to kind of learn how you do it, feel free to jump into the charter. But it's a very short and sweet document, or it should be. The DID working group, the only thing they're doing is they're going to take the DID spec and run it through the W3C process. That's it for the charter. Any questions on that? If not, I'll move on to use cases.
Did we get a name on it?
Mine, definitely.
Yours. Just confirming that. That's what I thought I heard.
So, Manu, this is Dan Burnett. I'm just going to jump in and say I may, within a couple of weeks, I may have availability to start helping with any of this, but I don't know for sure yet. Today's a bad day for me to try to commit, but in a couple of weeks I may be very available.
Okay, all right, great, thanks, Dan, and please keep us surprised. Okay, that's the DID charter use cases. Is basically what we did for the verifiable credentials thing. Only I think we're going to try and cut it down, way down to like 4 to 6 use cases at most. I will absolutely not be volunteering to do this, so we need other folks.
No, I will. I'll put my name on that. This is Joe,
awesome.
Of course.
Thank you, Joe. and you did an excellent job with our verifiable credentials use cases. So, and my hope is that we can take a lot of the template from those use cases and reuse it here. Number three, anyone else want to help out with use cases? Heather, you're on the queue.
Hey, I have a question. So a while back we talked about one of the action items that came out of IIW was this, I can't remember what we were calling it, Manu, but how does that relate to the DID use cases in your mind?
Not much at all, because W3C is kind of picky about what their use cases look like. The use cases have to be things that we can demonstrate that we've achieved, or should be things that we've demonstrated that we've achieved once the working group is done. So they tend to be a bit more technical and focused than the story stuff. The story stuff is more like, here's the future that we're creating. It's a long-term view, like a 5-year, 10-year look into the future, whereas use cases are, these are the things that we should be able to do once this DID working group has completed.
So okay, I understand that, and I've seen that, you know, I've seen this process through a couple of my, you know, through my participation with W3C groups before, and I understand why we have to have it be clear like that from, like, the technical testing model, but I do think there is a limitation in these kinds of use cases from the human-centric interaction model. And so I'm not sure how to resolve those two things, if it's appropriate to resolve those two things, like with something like this. And I guess I want to work on the stuff that bridges those two things. So I guess I'm just raising this as a concern. I guess I'm saying keep me in the loop for the use cases, and I'm saying that I think the use cases are going to miss a lot of things that are actually really important for us in this group to think about, from like how actual human beings are going to use this stuff and how human beings with the technology and technology are going to use this stuff. So anyway, I'll stop there.
And then Benjamin, you're on the queue. Hey, Joe, let me know if I'm overstepping.
Oh, not at all. I was just going to queue up Benjamin as well.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I linked in chat to the publishing use case document, which was done by an interest group, not a working group, so a non-technical group by definition, and their output included requirements that are somewhat technical in nature, but then lots and lots of stories under several of them. The one I use linked to is one of the smaller ones, but usually they go through several usage examples, which sound like stories. But above that, they try and distill all those stories down to a specific requirement. The one I linked to was, there should be a way to uniquely identify a web publication. What that's starting to look like in the working group is taking that beyond sort of that simple statement and saying, like, okay, what does that mean? That means it's not also the same identifier as one of its parts. So it has to have its own identification within whatever system, as well as each of its parts need to be identifiable, which is elsewhere in the document. So it's a little bit of both, a hard requirement as possible to express in the use case terminology, and then as many stories as are needed to explain why that became a requirement.
Yep, absolutely. To address some of the stuff that you said, Heather, I think there are kind of two worlds here. It's the stuff that W3C membership needs to see. And in many cases, the more we write and the more use cases we put in there, the bigger the trouble we create for ourselves. because sometimes W3C members that, for example, may not want to see the work succeed will use the use cases as a demonstration of, they'll use it against the working group. So they'll say, these are the use cases that you said you were going to work on, and you're not working on them, and so I'd like to see you working on them, knowing that that's going to slow the group down or create pain for the group. So the less we write in these use cases, the better off we tend to be. That's a fairly negative way of looking at it. And I think we do want to do also what you're saying, Heather, which is, kind of talk about the greater ecosystem that we're trying to create and make sure that we're not missing anything. But if we put a lot of that thinking into the use cases document, understand that it could be used against us in those 24 months to slow down or stop the work. So we have to be very careful about the use cases that we put in there, make them highly focused, make sure that those are achievable in 2 years, so that we don't open the working group up to attack from other W3C members.
Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah, okay, so Manu, that makes a lot of sense, and I appreciate you explaining that. How can we move forward with including, the kind of stuff that, I think that is in the example that was shared and that my concerns are, how can we include that and mitigate the risks that you're bringing up?
Yeah, I don't think there's a clear answer there, and it's just an iterative process. So, Joel writes something down, and then maybe you'll weigh in and say, hey, I'd really like to get this perspective in there, and then we'll analyze whether or not that perspective can be used to attack the group. Or if we think it's something that's fairly, tight and achievable in the 24 months, and then we'll just go back and forth on it. I should also mention that, unfortunately, the use cases are rarely looked at again by the working group once the working group starts up. Like, we already have a pretty good idea of what we want to do. There people use the use cases for a variety of different uses. Sometimes they're used aggressively. Other times, and this is what they should be used for, is to guide the group. Unfortunately, it's a process. It's iterative. There's no easy answer to any of these questions, other than let's try and not eat up a ton of time, with the use cases, because there are other things that I'll get to in a bit that are far more important than the use cases.
Okay, that's totally acceptable to me. I guess I just want to see us not forget this point, and have it get swept under the rug. I don't think that that's going to happen here, but I'm just stating the obvious before I conclude my voice on the matter.
Awesome. Thank you, Heather. Noted. And in the minutes. Any other questions on use cases before we jump to the next one? I'm going to try and speed up to get through the rest of these. Number three is demonstration of support. You have to demonstrate to the W3C membership that other W3C members want to see this work happen. So W3C members don't really, they care about other industries adopting the work, especially if you're able to come to the table with a couple of multi-billion dollar corporations, nonprofits, for-profits, whatever. If we say, this gigantic bank or this gigantic NGO is interested in using DIDS, that's good. But fundamentally, at the end of the day, it's the W3C membership that gives a thumbs up or a thumbs down vote. So we have to basically go lead before the charter happens to whip votes and tell people or to ask people whether or not they're going to support the charter. So we'll write the charter, we'll have the use cases, and then we'll say, here's the charter, here are the use cases, would you support this working group? And if we come back with at least 35 to 50 organizations in support of it, we have a fairly good chance of the working group going through. It's a good sanity check before we put it up to the voting process. That's a demonstration of support, and that's just going to require the chairs and us to go and effectively pick up phones and knock on doors and ask people to support the charter and the use cases. We've done that in the past using Google Forms that people can kind of, it's just a questionnaire that people can respond to. Any questions on demonstration of support? It's a separate document that we create.
Do we have a name?
Kim's on the queue.
Go ahead, Kim.
Yeah, the main question I have here, which we won't be able to answer in the call, is like what those big for the big organizations, what they are. For the smaller ones, I guess you've answered here, drum up support. Okay, so we basically just want the chairs to do this. I think my big concern is around which specific big organizations, and that's something we can talk about offline. It's just not clear what they are yet.
Yep. Usually when you start a working group, you want two big multi-billion-dollar for-profit Keystone corporations, so at least two of them that are, big and known. And we have some ideas on who those might be.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay, so is this, can we put a chair name on this, or is this for you, Manu?
It's the chairs plus me, so I can go over the process, but the chairs are going to have to do the outreach.
Okay.
And that's going to be the other question that comes up is who's going to chair this group? I think we've got, great chairs in the three of you, but then politics come into it, and one of the big kind of cornerstone multinationals is going to want a chair position probably. So we're going to have to make some decisions on who's going to be representing as chairs from this group.
So that'll be part of the writing the charter, right? The charters, charter specify the chairs?
Yeah, it does. It does, and we can also do a TBD. So we don't have to. It's best to, when you put it up to a vote, you should specify who the chairs are, but it can be to be determined right up until that point.
Sure.
The other two on here, number four and number five, is a technical architecture review. So that a technical architecture group is the architecture group over the entire web. The TAG would do a review. They're waiting on us to finish up the DID specs to the point that they can do a review on it. It would be good to have that review before the end of the summer. The other one, number five, is a privacy review. I've been working with the web the privacy interest group. And they are happy to do a review when we tell them that we're ready for that. So those are just reviews. They're not on us, but we have to get the DID spec basically more or less finalized in this group before we hand it over to them. The sixth item is that's kind of also for the chairs to request that. So it's up to the spec editors, so Drummond and myself, to finish up the spec, and then it's up to the chairs to request those reviews at the appropriate time. So that's four and five. Number six is the DID primer, which is already done thanks to Drummond. So we have that document, thanks to Drummond and rebooting Web of Trust. That's going to be a fairly easy rev. And then the DID test suite. So this is what we don't have. We don't have an interoperability test suite. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Manu, for the primer, can we get a name on who's going to turn that into spec text and get it through our consensus iteration? Is that driving?
I wasn't going to volunteer him.
So someone's got to do it, right?
You know what what would be great is if somebody other than Drummond or I took that on, because it's a fairly easy lift. It shouldn't take more than like a week or two to do. All the text is already there. You literally just have to put it into respec format.
Oh, man, I would love it if someone would take that on.
Andrew, I see you on the queue.
What's the deadline? What's the deadline for that?
End of summer, but as soon as possible. But end of summer, absolutely hard deadline, end of summer.
Okay. I'm willing to take that on, noting that probably can't start until sort of middle of May.
Perfectly fine. Yeah, so if we can try to wrap it up by mid-June, that would be perfect. So that seems like a reasonable timeline.
Okay.
Thank you, Andrew.
I'll reach out later for instructions on what the heck I'm supposed to do.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Andrew.
Okay, any questions on the primer? The test suite is the last thing.
Well, there's also deployments.
Ah, yes. Oh, yep, sorry. You're right. So the test suite, the test suite isn't absolutely required. So the W3C has been changing over the past decade. It used to be that you could start a working group with a very loose specification, no test suite, no implementations. But things have shifted to community groups now, so they expect community groups to do a lot more of this work. It would be good for us to have all of our ducks in a row before we get into the working group. So that's why just having a test suite, even if it's like 10 tests, 12 tests, is a good demonstration that we have basic interoperability before we even go in. So this would be something like a Sovereign DID document and a VerisOne DID document or a BTCR DID document or a UPort DID document. Being able to be fed into the test suite and it coming out with, all green check marks, like it passes all of the tests. I believe we're going to be mostly going to be like data model tests. So those are fairly, they're easier test suites to write. And I would imagine that we might be able to leverage some of the verifiable credentials test suite there as well. But someone needs to volunteer to do the test suite to actually, to write it. It's a coding thing.
And do we have anything right now?
We have nothing.
Sounds pretty daunting.
It's not as daunting as it sounds. I think there'll be a decent chunk that you can copy paste from the verifiable credentials test suite that Chris Weber's working on.
Cool. And I see Ryan on the queue.
Yeah, I see Kim on the queue or mentioning as well. I would love to work with Kim on this. And Marcus is available as well. I think he's well positioned to help with this, but I don't know if he's on this call.
Agreed. Okay, so I mean that's good. That's all we need for now is a couple of people to throw the test suite at, and we'll see who catches it.
And I yield the scribe back to you, Grant. Ryan.
Okay, so that's the test suite. Thank you, Ryan, Kim. And is that Lucas Parker? Sorry. Yep. And Lucas. That's good. We had three people. That'll take a look at that. So that's great. Finally, the last thing is deployments. We position ourselves best if we can demonstrate that this stuff is deployed and being used out there, not in a testnet. But in an actual production capacity. W3C, the most common response to a W3C charter is who's using it and why is this the right time to standardize. The Goldilocks period for when do you start standardization is when you have some deployment, but you still have enough flexibility to change the implementations a little bit, right? So we are probably entering into the Goldilocks period for the DID spec, because I know that, you know, we've got Sovereign deploying, VerisOne's deploying, Uport, I think, is deploying in BTCR. I don't know where BTCR is, but if we have three organizations that are deploying into production, we'll be able to say we do have, you know, deployments, and here are the use cases. That resonates really well with W3C membership. If we didn't have that, we would have a pretty hard uphill battle. The other thing that deployments help with is almost inevitably you'll have a very large organization jump into a working group and potentially say it's our way or the highway, meaning if all of the implementations don't align with us, we're not going to adopt it. So if you want 100 million, 200 million people using your technology, you should do what we're saying. And then, you know, that kind of throws a bomb into the working group. So as long as we kind of go in as a group, we understand, you know, where we're interoperating and we're happy with that. Those kinds of bombs thrown into working groups don't have a lot of effect. But if we're not, if for example, Sovereign goes off in one direction and VerisOne goes off in another direction and Uport goes off in another direction, it makes it very easy for a very large organization to jump in and say, none of these people are interoperating with each other, so we don't have interoperability. But what we do have is 200 million users, so this is what we think should happen. At which point the working group freaks out, the W3C member or the W3C management freaks out, and that creates a lot of issues. So we have to make sure that we are aligned in where we're interoperating, and that's why the test suite's so important, and that's why deployments are so important, because what people actually put out in the market and start supporting is a good indicator of which direction the spec's going to go. So that's deployments. So I think that the people that would commit to those things would be folks like Evernym and Sovereign, the VerisOne project. Uport, I'd like to hear where Uport is on their deployment stuff with DID documents, and then BTCR. I don't know where BTCR is with the DID documents.
So should we put a person in charge of helping compile this list of where these deployments are, as well as rallying folks who might be able to be encouraged to get a deployment in production?
I think that's a great idea.
Anyone out there willing to help out in this way? It's basically going to be a spreadsheet and staying on top of these questions like, where's Uport at? Where's BTCR at? Should be fairly lightweight, but it would be great to get someone to step up to that.
I'm interested. This is Lionel.
Okay, great.
This is Adrian. I'm interested as well.
Okay. Let's put both your names on it. And you guys have each other's emails?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we'll put your name on it, and we'll follow up along with the rest of these as we move forward. And by all means, feel free to reach out to the chairs and or the mailing list if you have questions.
Awesome. Beautiful. Okay, so to reiterate the timeline, I'm going to go through and say which ones are absolutely critical and need to be done first. So the DID spec absolutely needs to be cleaned up, right? The DID spec is blocking the technical architecture review and the privacy review, and to some extent the test suite and the deployments. So lots of pressure on both Drummond and myself to get that done as quickly as we can. Drummond, I know we need to, you've been asking for time for us to sit down and chat, and so we should definitely do that. Next thing that's necessary is the charter and the use cases. So DID spec, let's try and finish it up by the end of May. the charter and the use cases, if we have those by the end of June, that would put us in good shape. And then the end of June, we kick off the tag review and the privacy review. The charter use cases and primer by the end of June will enable us to kick off the tag review and the privacy review during July with test suite and deployments kind of going on throughout that entire process. So if we're able to do that kind of as a group, we'll be in very good shape for TPAC. That'll bring us out of the summer with basically everything that we need set up in plenty of time for TPAC announcement and things of that nature. And that's it.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Manu. Anyone else have any questions or comment on that? We're pretty close to the end of the hour, so Manu, I'm thinking that over the next couple of weeks, we'll be using some times in this call to dive into some of these. I'd love to get some real-time conversation about potential use cases, for example. Is there anything you'd recommend for us to take a look at next week?
I think the thing I'm most concerned about is a good tight use cases document, and then bid spec. I think we need a bit of time. So if we want to try narrowing down use cases for DIDs, that would be a good thing to start off with. I don't think we've really, we have plenty of ideas, but we'd have nothing written down. And then the charter, maybe the week after that, I'll take a first cut at a charter and hopefully have it done by mid to late May.
Okay, that sounds good with me. Other chairs, do you have any strong opinions? I guess I'm putting myself on the hook for leading the use case conversation next week.
Yeah, that sounds good. I didn't know if we, well, today would in theory be the Crypto Tuesday, but I didn't know if we had a backlog of that. But otherwise, I'd rather push through some of the DID work.
Okay. Chris, did you have any thoughts about scheduling the topic for next week?
No, I would like to, of course, have it for the cryptography things, but we don't really have that's not been an immediate priority agenda item right now. We do need to get back to the suites. We keep on listing our work items, but of course we technically also have we've inherited all the work items of the data verification specs as well. So, we have to puzzle that out as how to get those finalized and completed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Manu, a quick question. Any update on, when we can play with doing verifiable credentials? Custom verifiable credentials with the Verus One stuff?
We're hoping by end of this month you'll be able to do arbitrary documents in Verus One testnet.
Yeah, I know it's gating a lot of the things I want to try. I need a real live test bed, and none of the playgrounds or test beds really are suitable at this point. So.
Yep. Working on it.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you, Chris. So for these items, we need to get them into our work item list. So the chairs will take that on. We'll use the notes here to put people's names on the ones we've identified, and we'll follow up in the next weeks to come. Any other thoughts before we close up here? Anyone on the queue? Okay, I think that's it, folks. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, all.